Our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has been listening to a couple of solo recordings by Coleman Hawkins, the first great tenor saxophonist. One was recorded in 1947 and the other in 1962. Kevin says these two solos prove Hawkins stayed at the forefront of jazz throughout his career.
When Coleman Hawkins was a boy, he played the cello before he ever picked up a saxophone. And the cello's resonant tone left a permanent mark on his big and sumptuous horn sound, one of the most gorgeous in all of jazz. In 1944, when Hawkins was turning 40 and had a few years of living in Europe behind him, he began talking about recording a solo saxophone piece inspired by the cello music of Pablo Casals. Hawkins finally got around to it in 1947 or 8, working out the solo for days before he was satisfied with it. He titled the piece Picasso. Picasso is usually looked at as an interesting footnote to Hawkins' career, but it's a lot more than that. In the first place, no one had done anything like it before. You'd have to wait till about 1970 before solo saxophone pieces became at all common in jazz. But with Picasso, Hawkins also settled by example the old debate about the propriety of mixing jazz and classical music. Not that folks didn't keep debating it. His voice-like approach to the saxophone sounds indebted to operatic singing as well as cello music. It also echoes the very different vocal quality of the blues, but he blends them so deftly, you can't tell where one ends and the other begins. Later, in Belgium in 1962, Hawkins recorded some music for a performance film by his quartet. One of the numbers was another solo piece, pretty much forgotten until it turned up on an album released last summer. That solo was called Dali, as in Salvador Dali, a title which may not have been Hawkins' idea. The performance is at least as remarkable as its predecessor. On first listening, Dali, like Picasso, sounds deceptively casual, even offhand. That's typical of Hawkins, who liked to pretend pieces he'd labored over were trifles thrown together on the spot. Some passages, like that opening sequence, are designed to show off his mastery over the saxophone, but Dali is a musical exercise more than a technical one. Its stream of consciousness structure resembles that of his earlier piece, Picasso, but in the context of 1962, it resonates against the then new and controversial stuff called free jazz. Like Ornette Coleman's music, it's tuneful and blues-based without being locked into a tightly defined form. In a sense, Hawkins does to the blues what Salvador Dali did to clocks. Mm-hmm. In 1963, a year after Coleman Hawkins taped Dolly, Eric Dolphy recorded an a cappella alto sax piece, which set the style for solo saxophone recitals by Anthony Braxton, Steve Lacy, and many others. But Hawkins, not for the first time in his career, had anticipated where his younger colleagues were going. He'd been an acclaimed innovator since the 1920s, and he could have settled into a comfortable rut long before this, but he had a restless need to keep changing his music, to make it new. That's how he got to be a great artist in the first place, kind of like Picasso.
Kevin Whitehead is a freelance writer based in New York. Coleman Hawkins' Picasso can be found on an anthology called Jazz Club's Tenor Sax on Verve. The album Dolly is on Stash Records.